There's a story that comes out of Kansas during the Depression. A farmer and his wife had been saving all the money they could scrape together so that when the circus came to the county, they would be able to take their four young children. It was something really pleasurable to look forward to and would be such a refreshing change to the daily, unending grind of poverty. Months passed. At last, the circus troupe arrived, and the family walked for miles on dusty country roads, finally to get in line for the ticket booth. Meanwhile, the girls were pirouetting, and the boys were pretending to be ringmaster and the clowns. They were almost delirious with excitement. Finally, their turn came, and the farmer approached the ticket booth. He said he needed two tickets for himself and his wife, and quite proudly said he needed four tickets for his children. The ticket taker tallied the charge for the tickets, and the farmer immediately looked ashen. He turned to his wife, showed her his open wallet, and with tears in his eyes said they did not have enough money. She put her hands to her face and staggered. Of course, the children missed all of this, what with their laughing and whooping around. But there were two older women, obviously sisters, just behind the farmer and his wife. And they had overheard what had just happened. They knowingly looked at each other, and then one of the sisters jostled her hand purse just slightly, and then bent down to the ground, and now with a $20 bill in her hand, said to the farmer, "Excuse me, sir, you must have dropped this." And she handed the bill to the farmer. The farmer and his wife were nearly overwhelmed. They just beamed with gratitude and amazement. They knew very well what had just happened. And after a few kind words and expressions of deep gratitude to the sisters, the family moved ahead into the circus grounds, all six of them. Meanwhile, the two sisters, now without money, turned and walked back home. So it was said, both the farmer and his family and the two sisters found enormous joy and contentment in the day. There were no losses. I want to name three kinds of failure, or at least the appearance of failure, about our being incomplete, our being imperfect, and our being mortal. About being mortal, which is the first apparent failure that many of us need to reckon with. Our bodily and mental systems will fail. Either our life energies will diminish in anticipation of death, or we will die suddenly. However it is, we are all goners. The reason why the New Testament is full of the language of new life, our new life in Christ, how it is we've, you know, already died in Christ and already have been raised to newness of life, is to ever remind us of eternity, for us to look to the glory of the Christ ascended. This is to help us build a bridge into eternity, where, as we pray in the funeral office, where life is changed, not ended. In this life, we are all terminal. There's no guarantee we'll even make it through the night, any one of us. We are all alive today because God has breathed life into us for as much as one more day to know God and to love God and to serve God. At the end of the day, each day, tonight, I would say our last words should be a prayer of completeness, that God has entrusted us with this most amazing life. Pray your thanksgiving to God as if this is your last day, and then rest in peace. Do that tonight. Tonight, pray your thanksgiving to God as if this is your last day. It may well be. And if you wake up tomorrow morning, no guarantees, be wide-eyed with amazement that you may have as much as one more day to, I'm using here Ignatius of Loyola's words, to know God and to love God and to serve God. Don't presume you're going to have another day, but if it happens, be delighted, because God thinks you're obviously up to it, which is to revere your life as a gift and not as a given. I think it's safe to say, for most of us here, they're not going to build a monument. They're not going to build a building after us. Not going to happen. Within a generation or two at the most, we'll be forgotten. Not long ago, I was walking through our monastery in Cambridge, and I apparently had some very strained look on my face. Our maintenance man, who had worked for us for about 50 years, who was very streetwise, stopped me in a hallway, and he looked into my eyes, seeing this expression on my face, and he said to me with his wonderful South Boston accent, "Curtis, don't take it too seriously. It's just life." And of course he was right. The rabbis teach that each of us should have two pockets. In one pocket should be the message, "I am dust and ashes." And in the other, we should have written, "For me, the universe was made." But don't conflate the two. Both are true, but don't conflate. Behold God's glory. Presume that what is glorious in this world and glorious in your own life is just a foretaste of what is to come. That doesn't mean that we should not invest in this life. It doesn't mean we should not enjoy our life or savor it, be deeply grateful for it. However, it's just a foretaste of what Jesus called the food that will last, the dwelling place he prepares for us for all eternity. I'll use the language of an art critic. Life on this earth is an excellent reproduction of the original. Or using the language of the church, as we say, at death, life is changed, not ended. You can feel more than one thing at once, and that includes, this is wonderful, and there is more yet. In a very difficult time, you may need to claim St. Paul's promise, for this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. Love your life, and when it's slipping away from you, remember that what you have loved the most has simply whetted your appetite for what is to come. You may know these words of Mary Oliver. To live in this world, you must be able to do three things. To love what is mortal, to hold it against your bones, knowing your life depends on it, and when the time comes to let it go, to let it go. Bodily and mental diminishment and death are no failure. They are all a part of life. Death is a part of life. Bask in God's iridescent glory now. Look to the glory to come. Glory, or to be glorified, is to teem with God's light and life and love. And that will last forever. Get in touch with that now while you can. I use a computer image here. Open both of those windows on the display screen of your soul so that you can move back and forth with ease. Life is all about now, the present moment. Life is about what is to come. Keep both of those truths open in your life. I'd like to pause for another few moments, and then we'll just consider about being incomplete and being imperfect. I invite you just to stay quiet, stay in your seat, or you may want to stand and stretch for a few moments.